This is the fourth sermon on the same text. Acts 24, 24, 25. Acts 24, 24, 25. And we're going to compare it tonight with Acts 16, 27, 34. And the title of the sermon tonight is The Most Terrible Words in the Bible. The most dangerous words that a man can say. All right, those two passages. First, Acts 24, 24, 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will." Now there's another man in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, that came under the mighty convicting power of the gospel of the Son of God, and he trembled also. Now let's look at this man in the 16th chapter of Acts, beginning at the 27th verse. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew out his sword to kill himself. Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Then he called for a light and came trembling before Paul, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. All it would have taken to have broken the manacles and the chains from Paul would have been just a word from Felix, set him at liberty, preaching the gospel. This man, so different, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Both of those men, under the terrific impact of the gospel of the Son of God, trembled. One of them believed, trusted, yielded his heart to Christ, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The other one, it says here, as Paul preached the message of Christ, Felix trembled. So great was the convicting power of the Spirit, Felix trembled and answered, "Paul, today I take the Lord as my Savior." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, Paul, for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will. Not now, not now. Some other day and some other time." I said tonight I was preaching on the most dangerous words that a man can say, the most terrible words in the Bible. What are they? What are they? There are some terrible things that men have said that are written in the Bible. Way back yonder, 2,000 years before Christ, way back yonder, God was guiding the destiny and the life of a great group of people. Instead of receiving the mercies of Christ and the leadership of the Spirit and the blessings of God their Father, with all gratitude and thanksgiving. The Bible says they began to murmur and to say, Would God, we died in the land of Egypt. Those are terrible words for a people to say. After God had done all that He could for them, and had blessed them, taken them out of slavery, was bringing them into the promised land. Instead of giving thanksgiving and glory to God, they found fault with the manna they ate. Got tired of it. This manna, our soul never loathed. And that people, no matter what you do, they're never happy and never satisfied. God sent them manna and they said, we despise that stuff. And God struck the rock and water came out of the rock. And they said, but this dry, hot land. And God sent them quail to eat, flesh to eat. And they said, but we are weary of the journey. Oh, they said, remember the days when we had onions and garlic and leeks and gathered around the pots in Egypt. Oh, would God we were back there. Would God we were back there. That people, and the Lord was weary of them, and sent fiery serpents to bite them, and pestilence and plagues among them. Those are terrible words for people to say, would God we were dead. There are terrible words in the Bible, terrible words that a man can say. One time, a wife said to her husband, look what God's done to you. Look what God's done to you. You believe in God, He's cut you down. Curse God and take your life. Curse God and commit suicide. Curse God and die. Those are terrible words. Awful words. Terrible words. Curse God and commit suicide. Terrible words in the Bible, and all those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, says that some of those groups led by the Pharisees, looking at the Lord Jesus, despising Him in their souls, hating Him with all of the strength of their lives, hating the Lord Jesus. They couldn't deny the glorious miracles that He was doing. The blind could see, and the deaf could hear, and the dumb could talk, and the leper was clean, and the dead were raised. They couldn't deny those things. So they looked at the Lord Jesus and said, He does that not by the Spirit of God and not by the power of the Holy Ghost, but He casts out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And the Lord Jesus said, you ought to be careful what you say. You can speak against God the Father, and it's forgiven you. You can speak, say words against God the Son, and it's forgiven you. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost, you have neither forgiveness in this world nor in the world to come. Dangerous words that a man can say, terrible words. But they're not the most dangerous, and they're not the most terrible. The most terrible words a man can say is to answer the Spirit of God with these words. Not now, some other time. When I have a convenient season, I will, but not now. Tomorrow, some other day. Preacher, I don't see that. Well, that's my sermon tonight. Why? Why? Why are these the most dangerous and the most terrible words that are in the Bible? First reason, because of the people who say them. When I have a convenient season, because of the people who say them. And who are the people who say them? Everybody. 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 How many of us commit the unpardonable sin and blaspheme and curse and damn the Holy Spirit? Very few. Very, very few. How many of us ever call our family together and say, commit suicide! Let's take our lives! Very, very few. Very few. How many of us murmur against God and say, would God I was dead! Would God I was back there in the land of Egypt. Not very many of us. Not very many of us. And if we do, it's a passing melancholia. But how many of us say these words? When I have a convenient season, I will. Everybody. Everybody. The lost man. I don't intend to be lost. I don't intend to be damned. I don't intend to fall into hell. I don't intend to burn in the fire. Between now and the time I meet God, I'm going to make this thing right. I'm going to do it. Then do it now. No, preacher, not now. I don't feel like it, or some other time, some other day, some other hour. Not now. When I have a convenient season, I will, but not now. The lost man says that. The drunkard says that. I'm going to reform. I'm going to change. Some of these days. Some of these days. Got the Bible now, but tomorrow I won't have it. I'll be straight and strong and clean and reformed. Not now, but some other time, some other day. In the evil man, I'm going to put away the vile iniquity of my life. Some other day and some other time, tomorrow, when I have a convenient season. And the Christian says that. God's people says that. Some of these days, some of these days, I'm going to work in that church. I'm going to get a job for Christ. I'm going out here and knock at the door. I'm going to do this thing for Jesus. Some of these days, not now, but some other time, tomorrow, manana. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would ever be better than he tomorrow. Each morning he'd stack up the letters he'd write. Each evening he'd recount the battles he'd fight tomorrow. He was a man which would work like a fiend tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view. And all that was left when living was through was a matter of things he intended to do manana, tomorrow. Preacher, I'm going to do it. Some other day, some other time, tomorrow, when I have a convenient season. The most dangerous words in the Bible. The most terrible words a man can say. Why? Because of the people who say them. Everybody. 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 The preacher. The singer. The choir. The deacon. The Christians. The lost. Everybody saying them. When I have a convenient season, when it's easy for me, some other time, some other day, I will, but not now. Second reason, most terrible words that a man can say. Second reason, because they are paralyzing to the soul and the will and the mind and the heart and the life. Paralyzing. When I have a convenient season, I will. To answer a great call from God. Not now, some other time, some other day. They are paralyzing to the soul and the will and the mind. See that arm there? I can just use that arm just any way that a man can use his arm. Just use that arm any way I want to. Bind that arm to my side. Tie it down there and leave it there, bound and tied for a certain period of time. Let me not use it. Let me not lift it. Then unbind it, untie it, and I couldn't use it if I had to. Its very muscles, the very fiber of the nerves have atrophied. I am paralyzed. I couldn't raise it. It's gone. It's useless. These eyes of mine, how in the world they've stayed strong as they have, I do not know. For years and years, studying, almost every day of my life. Studying. Yet they're good eyes still. You bind my eyes. Bind my eyes. Leave them bound for a certain length of time. Then unbind them, and I'm blind. I couldn't see if I had to. The very nerve centers have atrophied. My eyes are useless. They're gone. They're gone. You ever go through Mammoth Cave in Kentucky? They have little fish in Mammoth Cave. They don't have any eyes. Just little sockets there, but no eyes. No eyes. My ears are good. When they're clean, I can hear. Good ears. Good ears. But stop up my ears. Stop them up. Leave them stopped for a certain length of time. Then unstop them. And I can't hear. I can't hear. The very nerves, the auditory nerves that run from my ear to my brain, have atrophied. My ears are gone. I can't hear. They are paralyzed. I don't know why or how, but there is a physical concomitant that follows every great spiritual decision, every one of them. Every one of them. Well, preacher, I don't believe that. Whether you believe it or not, these years of my ministry, that's one of the things I see every day of my life. Every day of my life. Like you are, physically, there is a physical concomitant in that soul of yours, in the spirit that lives inside that body. A child is very sensitive and very tender. Appetite very keen. It is much quickened and alive. And its soul is quickened and alive. As he gets older, he loses the abilities that God has put in his body. Finally, he becomes decrepit and senile. And finally, he can hardly walk and becomes invalid. And finally, he dies. And that same thing is true with a man's soul. With a man's soul. As he gets older, his soul gets older, his mind gets older, his spirit gets older. And instead of being sensitive and quickened and easily cut, he gets calloused and hard, and he can't. He can't walk. He can't lift up his hand. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't respond. Preacher, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. I do not know the number of old men that I've talked to, trying to get them into the kingdom before they die. And they say, but preacher, I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. I tell them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't know what to do. You say, believe. What is it? What is it? And they die that way. They die that way. I can take a little child, sit down by the side of that little child in my study and talk to them about the Lord Jesus, talk to them about the call of God. Why, it's no time at all until tears begin falling off that little cherub face, and they are putting a quiet, beautiful, precious trust in the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the world away. I never did that with an old man. Brother, he's paralyzed. He loses the uses of his body as he gets older. And he loses the uses of his soul. When I have a convenient season, I will tomorrow, and it never comes. And we're lost. Time to be saved is when you can walk, when you can lift up your hand, when you can take the hand of the preacher. When you can say, preacher, look at me, by God's grace, here I stand, giving my heart to Jesus. Look at me. Here I am. Man, why in the world would a fellow want to give a husk and a carcass to Jesus anyway? Give him your life. Give him your days. Give him the strength of your soul. Do it while you can walk and talk and live and witness for the Lord. Make it now. Make it now. Oh, I had a bunch of other reasons. Let me take one other and I'll stop. Why are these the most terrible and dangerous words that a man can say? I have one other reason I'll take time for. Because you may get by with it. You may succeed in it. You may. But if you do, you fail. You fail. You lead others into death. There was a man who repented on his deathbed. He repented on the cross as he died by the side of the Lord Jesus. He repented and was saved, became a Christian just before he died. I think the Lord wrote that in his book that we might not despair. While there's life, there's hope. One man was saved just on the brink of eternity. One man was. But I think the Lord did something else there. It was only one. Lest we presume. God did save one man before he took that last and final crumbs into the night. God saved one man on his deathbed. But just one. Just one. Lest you and I presume. You may succeed. When I have a convenient season, I will. Preacher, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You may succeed. At the last minute, you may be converted. You may have an experience of grace. You may be saved at the last minute. But I say, if you do, you fail. You fail. You've lost. Because you lead others into death. I'll show you what I mean. I shook hands with a man. Oh, he was 73 years old. Wonderful fella. Wonderful fella. I fell in love with him the first time I saw him. A grand man. I shook hands with him. Bless his heart, he was there every service. And full for me, just fell in love with him. So upon a day I was talking to him. And I said, Brother Victor, I guess you've been a Christian for 50, 60 years, haven't you? Maybe 65. How long you been a Christian? How long you been a Christian? The old man said, you're going to be disappointed in me, brother. Then you're going to be surprised. He said, I've been a Christian a year. Christian a year. I said, what? You? You've been a Christian a year? Yes, he said, I was converted. I was saved when I was 72 years old. Well, I said, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. What was the matter? You didn't hear anybody preach the gospel? He said, yes, sir. When I was a boy, I went through a revival meeting with Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody. And then he named some other marvelous preachers that he'd heard. Well, I said, my, what in the world? What in the world? Why didn't you give your heart to Christ? Why didn't you take the Lord as your Savior? Why didn't you? And he replied, he said, I felt the tug in the Spirit of God and knew it was something I ought to do. But I just didn't. I always put it off. Some other time, some other day, some other year, some other hour, some other night, but not now, not then. He said, I had no reason at all. I just didn't. I just put it off. Just put it off. And he said, last year, 1 year ago, I was saved. In the meeting last year, I gave my heart to Christ. Well, I said, thank God you were converted. And he said, yes, thank God I was saved. Oh, thank God I was saved. Been just a year. I'm a year old in Christ, but thank God I was saved. And I do rejoice. I'm glad. I rejoice. Then he took me aside, sat down by me and said, I have something I want you to do. I said, all right, brother, I'll do my best. What? He said, I got a boy, and he lives this way and this way and this way, lived a long way off. And he said, my boy is not a Christian, and my boy is not saved, and he has a family. And I wanted to know if you'd take time out of your life and drive over and talk to that boy about being saved. I said, well, sure I will. Certainly I will. How old's your boy? He said, my boy is about 45 years old. Well, I said, you pray for him and I'll go. So I went way over the way and the way, stopped at the home of the boy. There's a beautiful family. And so I talked to the boy about being a Christian. And the boy was moved. That man was moved. Spirit tugging at his heart. Spirit pulling at his soul. You know what he answered me? He answered me the same answer his daddy had been telling God all the days of the boy's life. I pled. I got on my knees. I read out of the book. I offered my hand. My soul, fella. My soul. Do it. Do it. Take Jesus as your Savior. Give him your life and your home. Give him your soul. Do it. And he came to the services. Fella. And the last night of the revival meeting, old brother Victor, 73 years old, a Christian of a year, I sang an entire song in ecstasy song while he went back there to that boy. And the old man got on his knees, crying and praying that the boy might be saved. Got down there by the side of that boy, praying and pleading. The boy shook his head, and I had to close the service, and it ended. And the old man died. Old brother Victor died, and he went to glory. I'll meet him someday in heaven. Old brother Victor died and went to glory, but he died with a broken heart. The boy is still lost. Still lost. You may succeed. I'm not saying that you won't. You may succeed, but if you do, you'll fail. You'll fail. The most terrible word that a man can say is to answer the call of God. Preacher, some other day, some other time, some other hour, some other night, some other season, but not now, not now, not now. You may succeed in it, but there'll be somebody who knows you and somebody who will follow you, and they won't make it. They won't make it. You may, but they won't. They lead others into death. Oh, Felix, Felix. What a day, what an hour, what a call, what a time, God's time. But he answered, not now, Paul. Some other time, some other day, some other hour, when I have a convenience. That's our appeal to your heart tonight. Somebody you. Anybody you. Whatever God says, as he whispers the appeal, as he makes the call, as God shall say the word, tonight, would you come? Would you come? Preacher, I'll make it now. I'll make it now. I'll make it tonight. Right now, this minute, this holy, precious minute, I'll make it now. I'll do it now. Take the Lord as my Savior. I'll do it now, Pastor. I'll do it now. Coming into the fellowship of his church, I'll make it now. I'll do it now. A home, one in one church, one in another church. Putting it together here, you come. You come. You come. Giving your life in a special way to the Lord. As God shall bear the appeal on the wings of the Spirit.
while we sing this hymn of appeal, will you make it now? Make it now. In the balcony around, from side to side, somebody view. Into that aisle, down here to the front, give the pastor your hand. Preacher, it's tonight for me. I hear the call in my heart, and I'm here. I'm coming. Here I am. I'll make it now. Here's my family. We're all coming. Our one somebody you. While we make appeal, while we sing, will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it now? I'll make it now. While we stand and while we sing.